Good morning once again. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 36. Why do you gad about so much to change your way? Now, in the context of this verse, God is making his case against the children of Israel who were being unfaithful to him. The English words gad about are a translation of the singular Hebrew word azal, meaning to go. The idea here in the context is that the people were going their own way, wandering away from God and towards sin and idolatry. The people were unstable because their faith was not rooted in the Lord day by day, minute by minute. Notice that God still pleads with his children, even under these circumstances, to come back into the fold. But the children of Israel were determined not to, and this sadly ended in captivity 40 years later, and the book of Jeremiah comes to a close with the divine discipline. Now, there are certain personal questions and applications that may apply to some here. As they are set before you, please know that they are not targeted deliberately to any specific individuals by the preacher. That's not something that we do here. But I do trust that God the Holy Spirit will see to it that our text from his word hits every single heart as an arrow perfectly shot. Why do you gad about so much to change your way? Why do you gad about so much on the internet or on your smartphone apps? Now, based on statistics that I found as I was gadding about the internet, looking for various polls and studies, I found the following. The average teen spends 7 hours and 22 minutes on their phone. The average millennial, 3 hours and 43 minutes on their phone. The average of all age groups, internet and phone combined, 2 hours and 25 minutes a day. Social media, average time, 2 minutes and 24 seconds. Well, wait a minute. 2 hours and 24 minutes. Two minutes and 24 seconds would still be a little too much, but that's still... For the record, you're not going to find me on social media. The church has its extensive website, and that is enough. You know, nobody ever sat on their deathbed and said, "Boy, I wish I had spent more time following my friends on Instagram." Instead, they say, "I wish I had spent less time gadding about these things and more time with my family." Moses writes, "The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength there are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrows, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." The preacher, Solomon, puts it this way: "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come. And the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.' While the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain, and the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look through the windows grow dim, and the doors are shut in the streets, and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of music are brought low, Also, they are afraid of height and of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails. If a man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well, and then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. In other words, we have a limited amount of time, so let's use it wisely. And we're all younger today than we're going to be tomorrow. These are difficult days, but they are all we have right now. Use them wisely. Spend them in communion with God through Christ, and spend your time with your spouse and with your children, with your parents, with your brothers, with your sisters. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Why do you gad about so much on social media? I know you keep track of your family and your friends, but know this. There is opportunity for sinister characters to use these platforms to keep track of you. A lot of sinister characters in this world. Consider also all the evil that takes place when sinful folks are hiding behind their keyboard. Gossip. People have too much time on their hands. People who have an extra 2 hours and 24 minutes to kill per day will make trouble. It's always been that way. You know, folks used to go from house to house, but today they go from mouse to mouse. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Not only do we find gossip, but slander. For I hear the slander of many. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. You know, the Bible says that in the last days, men will be, quote, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous. Evil individuals will not only take to the screen to slander, they will also be unforgiving and unloving. They will seek to cancel you because their hearts are full of hate. Now, someone here may be a smartphone addict or a social media addict. If so, you're probably in denial. So let me ask you, let's each ask ourselves, if someone scrambled the satellites, you know, we got all kinds of problems in the world. You know, we got, you know, not getting along with China too well, and, you know, Russia, we're not getting along with them too well. These nations, these certain actors probably have some power to scramble up the satellites and shut down the internet for a little while. Would you be able to function? Why do you gad about so much with the television or watching stuff on whatever medium you use? I have no idea what people watch things on today. I try not to be too wise to those things. But, you know, there's other things other than the television today. I'll leave it at that. So ask yourself, is what you watch or what you are watching either eliciting lust or promoting sin? You know, there's a saying, if you put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out. You're not going to be unaffected by what you put into your mind, by what you look at. Further, in giving some of these shows, some of these things, their ratings, one is actually condoning the sin. How is that, you ask? Romans chapter 1 and verse 32 reads this way. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. What you approve, you promote, as Dr. Shelton Smith is fond of saying. I'll give you a couple of examples. There's some of those off-color sitcoms that you might see out there. The sitcoms used to be, I think for the most part, pretty clean. The stuff that I used to watch as a kid. Now, maybe not so much. And then there's other things that are promoting sin. Like, I like to watch a hockey game from time to time. But a couple weeks ago, I turned on the hockey game. It happened to be at a good time. Didn't have much going on. So maybe I'll watch a period of some hockey. So I put it on Saturday morning. And it was the NHL Pride game. And I said, no thanks. So I shut that off. And I haven't watched hockey since. We want to be careful what we're promoting in our ratings. I'm not saying we should go too crazy, because I guess if we looked at everything, you know what we would do? We'd end up doing nothing. So, if you said, well, I'm only going to invest in companies that are totally 100% Christian according to my beliefs, you're never going to find one. Unless it's your company, I guess. Why do you gad about so much by dabbling with namby-pamby, a heretical, religious, so-called Christian stuff? There's a lot of stuff out there, a lot of junk out there that masquerades as Christian teaching. And I was talking to my brother this morning. A lot of folks, they want to watch this guy, that guy, this ministry, that ministry, so they figure they'll get a whole broad-based thing and they'll cover all their bases. The problem with that is you end up with a little bit of truth, a little bit of falsehood, and all kinds of competing views of everything else in between. And you're going to be unstable. Acts chapter 17, verse 21 talks about the Athenians, and the Greeks were very fond of their philosophy. They like their philosophy, two things. They like their philosophy, and they like to argue about it. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. We ought not to be like that as Christians. We got a bunch of old things in here that we know to be true in this book. So let's spend our time with the old things and not be so worried about the new things. The Bible also says there's nothing new under the sun. All it is something else. It's the same old thing or the same old lie with pretty little packaging on it. Give you some examples of this. All kinds of documentaries about historical documentaries, historical Jesus. You've probably heard of that. The Lost Tomb of Jesus, where is it? And they talk about, and they're like, well, this says, it says Jesus on the tomb, and you might have a reference to Joseph or something like that. Well, everybody was named Jesus and Joseph in those days. And when you look at the credits, when you get to the end, you'll see that a lot of the folks who fund that, you've got certain endowments from, schools that endorse the historical Jesus movement. And then also you've got Islamic groups that fund that because they're putting their money to that, because what does it do? It casts doubt on the resurrection, the actual physical bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Prophetic codes, like the Da Vinci Code, that stuff. New Bible translations, or worse, new doctrines, which are really rehashes of age-old heresies, such as Arianism. They come back and they say, we're the Jehovah's Witnesses now, and we've got this new doctrine. All it is a rebranding of the ancient Arianist doctrine, which was summarily rejected by the early church, denies the deity of Christ. The internet is so full of such garbage. But instead, the Bible gives us this advice. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then the warning. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. and their message will spread like cancer. Talked a lot about some things we want to avoid gadding about this morning. But now let's talk about some things that are worth gadding about, worth going about, worth pursuing. How about your salvation? How about your sanctification? Peter writes this. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, working really, really hard about it, gadding about as much as possible. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, self-control perseverance, perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? We got our own mansion up there. Well, it's got his construction crew working on building another wing of that mansion so we can all have a place to go when we enter into heaven. But not only that, he's got a separate entrance for each and every one of us. Isn't that awesome? An entrance will be supplied to you. Your salvation, well worth gadding about. What about your Bible? What about your Bible? For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. There's no shortcuts to this, friends. It takes work. The Christian life is work. Don't let anyone tell you different. Whatever time you may be wasting gadding about some of those other things, put it to spiritual pursuits and getting the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Here's another thing worth gadding about. Your prayer life. Why do you gad about so much to change your way? Instead, seek the Lord today. Say with the psalmist, come clean before the Lord and speak this way. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. And then go and gad about the things of God. Gad about the things of the world no more. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the personal challenge that it brings to each and every one of us. Lord, may we all make careful self-examination of our own selves and do a careful study of our time stewardship. Help us that we might be gadding about the things pertaining to our salvation, your word. In these times of prayer, not only on Sunday morning, at the three appointed times, but also throughout the week privately, daily, after the manner of Daniel and the psalmist, may we be gadding about Jesus Christ, going after him, going after your son. With the same diligence that you, Lord, have gone after us and found us as sheep having gone astray. So I pray, Lord, that if any have been gadding about the world too much and have now come to the point that, boy, I've just been wasting my time, wasting my life. Hear the cry of such a one. And let these words and the spirit conviction not depart from each and every soul this morning. We thank you that you have come down and paid the penalty for our sins by the blood of your cross. That we, when we confess, when we repent and when we confess our iniquities before you, that you are faithful to forgive each and every time. And we thank you that there's a home in heaven waiting for us, but Lord God, guide us each and every day in your way, that you might be glorified through us and in us. In Jesus' name, amen.